our continuing study on this series of messages from the book of Ecclesiastes, Remember Now Thy Creator. Today's devotion is Wise Up, Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 1 to 7. There is a clear way of life that Solomon defines for us as wise living. And he exhorts us to take heed to this wisdom that God had given him for earthlings to prosper under the sun. At times in life, we need to be admonished so that we will be awakened to our weaknesses and change for the better. And we thank God that He gives to us His Word and the Spirit of God, our conscience, to teach us how we can live better this earthly life as we prepare for heaven. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable. It is good, advantageous. It is good medicine for the sick. And it provides for you. Here are four words: doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. It teaches us the principles whereby we are to lead our life, and that it also gives to us reproof to show us where we have gone wrong in our life. And then it also shows us how we can be corrected. That's the power of scriptures. And God does it so wonderfully through the lives of men and women who are honestly depicted in the scriptures. And when we study the life of Christian men, non-Christian, believers, non-believers, we learn wisdom. And so, the Word of God is good for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, to show us how we can be right again with God. And then, for instruction in righteousness, meaning, how do you apply these principles for your benefit? That the man of God may be complete, may be perfect. That the word there does not mean sinless. The word there means that we would live a life of spiritual maturity, meaning that we will reach spiritual maturity. Right? And that is what the Lord wants us to do, that we may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, meaning that we can grow to be a blessing to the people around us, a blessing to your loved ones, a blessing to your friends, a blessing to your colleagues, a blessing even to the strangers that come your way in the street that you meet. Moses gave to the children of Israel in the Old Testament a similar instruction when he said, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest, talkest of them when thou sittest in thy house, and thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Let the word of God so saturate in every aspect of your life, in every area of your life, in every place that your feet and your hands find yourself in, so that it may guide you and grant you wisdom to live life profitably. And Moses gave the same instruction for the leaders of Israel. The kings are commanded by God to write a copy of Scripture for themselves and to study and to live by it all their lives. Very interesting. To write a copy of Scripture. Now, nowadays, we, in the computer age, we take less time writing. But if you were to take time to write, you'll find that it is one way that would help to reinforce learning. Because you are, as you write, you are forced to concentrate, and then you would be able to see what you have written. And here Moses says, gives this wisdom. He says, it will be, and it shall be, Deuteronomy 17, 18 to 20, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God. So now Solomon is telling us, or Moses is telling us, that you need a certain attitude in your heart towards God, towards life. And this he named that, he named as the fear of God. That you are not someone who lives in isolation in God's created universe, but you are an entity very much linked and subjected to God and His ways in His created realm. We are free, and yet we are not so free, not that free. We are free to do good, but we are not that free to border on evil. And this is where Solomon is trying to show us that we need wisdom, heavenly wisdom, in order that we may be able to live this life well. The kings of Israel, when they failed to study and abide by the safety of Scriptures, they fell. The kingdom and the entire nation fell. And this can be attested in the divided kingdom, when Solomon lived a life disobedient to the Scriptures. You see, when he wrote this book, he wrote it at the end of his life. And he had accumulated much wisdom through folly. Meaning that, you know, there are many instances that he lived the consequences of folly. And so, he write as an experienced person to let us know the dangers that can beset the people of God. Okay? And so, four thoughts that we want to meditate upon. Folly is costly. Folly is clearly seen. Right? Verse 1, verse 2 to 3. Folly in contending with superior. folly in high places. Verse 4, verse 5 to 7. Folly is costly. Dead flies cost the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savour. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honour. The lesson is this, that the dead fly, though a little creature, can render a bottle of costly perfume useless when it emits a stinky smell that competes with the good fragrance that this costly perfume is supposed to give. And so, the bottle of good perfume has to be thrown away. So he's telling us that as the people of God, you need to guard your testimony. You need to guard your reputation. You need to guard your good name in the Lord, because a little folly can tarnish the good name that you have. And so we want to think and understand that if no matter who you are, right, if you are driving on the road and you break the traffic rule, you will be fined, or you will be given demerit points, and sometimes you may be taken out of action. And when you fail, the law is fair in a sense that anyone who commit folly, who transgressed against the law, has to be dealt with. And so it may be a minor offense, but it can have a great impact or effect. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5 verse 6, "Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" Right? The little lump, the little yeast that is placed in a new loaf of bread will permeate the entire loaf to cause the bread to rise. So what this text is telling us is that a little folly is enough to wreak great havoc in your life. And so the Lord wants us to be very careful how we order our lives. The unguarded moment, the temptation that would come in the time when you are most vulnerable, or in the time when you least expect it, and it can cause you to fall. The hasty word, the word that is said out of anger, out of malice, out of hatred, can sever a relationship. The irritable temper, when we could not control our nature, we let our anger, we let our let the bad blood boil in us. That's no good. One occasional slip spoil the fragrance of the ointment. And so he tells us that you can be doing many, many things right, but there could be something that you may have done wrong, and it would cancel out all the right that you have accumulated. So here the text gives to us the warning. And this text provides a warning. guard your reputation. Okay? Let it be one of wisdom and honor. And God provides to us His Word in order that we may thrive, in order that we may be well. And so, He tells us that folly is costly. The sin of one person, if not promptly dealt with, will bring a sense of moral corruption to the entire church. That's what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. When sin was not dealt with, it permeates. It's like a disease, a cancer that affects the entire body. And he urges quick action to discipline the errant sinner in their midst. In the history of Israel, the initial introduction of idolatry was not arrested, so that with time, the entire nation went a-whoring. And so, idolatry, moving away from God, can begin in a very unobtrusive, in a very obscure, unnoticed manner in our lives. But if we take time to stay close to God, take time to read the Bible, take time to pray, then the Holy Spirit will bring to us wisdom and show us where we may have gone wrong. So these unnoticed manners will show itself in our conscience so that we may be made aware of danger that is confronting us. Israel went a-whoring after idols, and God judged them. 70 years they were deported out of the land. You know, God gave them many hundreds of years to repent. There were some good kings that came, but that general slide, the floodgate of corruption has made its stronghold in the lives of the people of God. And so the Lord wants us to be careful. Purge the sin that pulls us down in your life. Take time to examine your hearts. And none of us can say that we are without sin. But all of us can, having known what is wrong, to correct ourselves while it is still possible. The church in Galatia was entangled with sin, and the Apostle Paul pointed out to them. Paul says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith God has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of sin, or with the yoke of bondage." Here, the tense of the verb there, entangled, speaks of the people in Galatia being already entangled, meaning that they are going back to their sin again. And it is again binding them. And so the Apostle Paul is warning them, right, to take heed, take care, protect yourself. And folly that is in our lives is clearly seen. It's verse 2. Folly is costly and folly is clearly seen. Folly is self-evident. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but the fool's at his left. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to everyone that he is a fool. Folly will manifest itself in the way we live our lives. And Solomon is saying to us that it can be seen. And so, for the people of God, it's interesting and it's important that we be a study of people and their character. To be able to see what is wisdom and what is folly. That which is wise, we follow. That which is folly, we must be careful to avoid. Jesus says, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. There is a right way in which we are to live our lives, right? And there is the way of the left. Meaning that, you know, there is a way that is not really that suited to life. And he uses the word right and left to contrast, right, between wisdom and folly. Okay, I put the explanation here in the notes. Right? The right is in the ancient world meant skillfulness, and the left connote ineptness and clumsiness. Ancient societies made no provision for left-handers. All soldiers, for example, held their shield in their left hand and their sword in their right hand. That's an observation made in King James Study Bible. And so the Lord is saying to us here that we are to watch our ways. Have you ever watched yourself? Meaning that you take yourself out of yourself in a sense and watch yourself. It's so important that we watch ourselves. Because no one is going to watch us if we don't watch ourselves. In the sense that when others watch us, they are going to judge us. But when you watch yourself, you're going to see where your folly is, and then you have a chance to correct yourself. So the Lord is saying to us here, there is a right way of walking. But for a fool, his life will be clearly seen, clearly manifested. When Jesus contrasted the wide gate and the narrow gate, he had in mind the broad main gate at the entrance into a city, and the small ones that allowed only pedestrians and single animal to pass through. So the width of the principal gate is about 13 to 14 feet. Very big, very tall, very high. But the other gate is low and narrow, permitting the entrance only of pedestrians and a single animal. So Jesus is saying to us, there is a way in which we are to live our lives. There is a way in which we find God. And Jesus gave to us this wisdom when he began his first message, the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." What Jesus is saying is that blessed are those who are willing to take hold of God as he manifests himself in his only begotten Son. This is true embodiment of the mystery of wisdom. God made flesh. And so, Jesus is saying to us that there is a way of life that is not so popular, but is good for you. And you are to take hold of it. And finding that wisdom can be painstaking. Solomon uses the expression in Proverbs chapter 2. As finding wisdom like finding hid treasures, because they are precious, they are hidden, well hidden. And so the diligent seeker will find. So the Lord tells us that there is a way in which we are to live our lives that will bring us safety, that will bring us health, that he wants us to live. And so, Jesus says that life with God in the narrow way, when you want to walk with God, it will cost you your sin. Because our God is a just God, if we sin willfully against him, he will chastise us so that we can be brought back to him. And the Bible says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. God dealeth with us as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement," the Bible says, "ye are whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards," it says, "not sons." Ah, very, very strong words that is described here. So, the Lord tells us that we are to realize that this life that we live is short, 60, 70, 80 years, compared with eternity. And you don't want to live your life looking back in regret, but you want to live your life well. So did Solomon live his life well? I believe he did. Because in the latter part of his life, he took time to impart the wisdom that he has learned through his own folly, so that posterity may be instructed. Folly in contending with superior, verse 4. "If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offences." Matthew Henry says, "To be submissive to our superior, if at any time we have offended them." This is good wisdom for the workplace. Indeed, lots of patience and commitment to duty is virtue. And a willingness to yield to the superior is wisdom. You see, it is God that placed authority over us. And God is the supreme authority. And man who learns well
well, learns to live under authority. That is a blessed thing, because we are protected by that authority. Right? When God rules over us in our lives, when we have the fear of God in our lives, then we would choose to obey His word, to follow His commandments, to protect ourselves. Folly in high places, verses 5 to 7. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceedeth from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low places. I have seen servants upon horses, and princes walking as servants upon the earth. We also notice how rulers appoint inept men to high office and let the competent languish in low places. This is also folly. He tells us the common sense, Charles Bridges put it, of misgovernment. Leaders making poor judgment, causing great evil to perpetuate. And so here is described to us the ironies in life. How life in this world is often not fair. This morning we began the study of the book of Exodus, and we saw how the people of Israel were subjected to great bondage in Egypt when a new ruler came who knew not Joseph. So the Bible tells us that there was a new Pharaoh, and if you read compared with the history that has taken place, you know that during that time there was a minority group called the Hyksos that invaded Egypt and took control of Egypt. And that's why, you know, in our text in Exodus, it was described to us in Exodus 1 verse 8, there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. That means he's not connected any way to the benefits, the system, the rule of law that came as a result of the influence that came through Joseph the Israelite. Behold, the text tells us, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also with our enemies. Who are the enemies? We were saying that these enemies are the Egyptians. So on the one hand, you have the Israelites. On the other hand, you have the Egyptians. And so these rulers, these minority rulers, said, let's be careful. And that's where they started to commit folly. What did they do? They afflict the people of God. Right? Much pain came. But God was doing something. God was doing something. And this morning we started our Bible study with the text from 1 Kings 8:56. We said that Solomon, when he dedicated the first temple, he said, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of his good promise which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. So what he's saying here is that if you follow and be in the will of God, be a part of God's plan, then you would experience the faithfulness of God. Israel experienced the faithfulness of God when they came out of Canaan. Now, we all know that Canaan consists of all the many
tribes of people, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and these are all evil people, the Philistines, like Gath, you know, Goliath. Here, what we are saying here is that there are these evil forces that are in the world. Okay, and they wreak folly. But God protected them by a famine to go to Egypt, and in that place of segregation, they were preserved. In that place of segregation, they prospered. See, God has marvelous wisdom in guiding His people. And of course, Jacob sought the Lord. And the Lord said to him, go to Egypt. And he went to Egypt. And so you would see that there is an error that comes, in a sense that, you know, we said that the world is moving towards a one world order, one world government, a one establishment that would finally give rise to the kingdom of the Antichrist. And this system is against God, against the people of God. And we are to be very aware of this, and, you know, be aware and realize, right, that this world is not our home, in a sense that there are certain things that we would not participate, we would not be a part of. And it's interesting, this morning as we were studying, we said that God created the nation of Israel to be a nation to reflect the law of God to all the nations of the world. But Israel's glory has not been fully manifested yet, all these thousands of years. Do you see, do you know when Israel will manifest its full glory? During the time of the millennium, when Jerusalem will be the capital of the world, and the Jews will feature greatly in God's order. Now is not the time yet, but we see that things are moving head on. Right? There is that hatred that is generated, or that is momentum that is moving towards the hatred of the Jews around the world. And this is moving, you know, to a head, where the Bible tells us that Israel will be so surrounded by the opposing nations of the world that they had no way out, and they had to cry out to their God. And that's when the Lord would return and deliver Israel and set up His kingdom upon earth. And so here the Lord is saying to us, folly is costly, folly is clearly seen, folly in contending with superior, folly in high places. He's saying to us that we are to wise up, we are to take hold of God's wisdom for our life, that we may prosper under Him. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for Thy word. Thank Thee for showing us Your word, Your wisdom, in which we can be protected through this earthly life, this world that is owned by the evil one. O Lord, may Thou be gracious to strengthen, protect, keep Thy people for Thy own name's sake. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.